This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Well, hello, rock stars. From Washington, D.C., this is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 57. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions and comments, 99888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or our website at rockonthemoney.com. How you doing, Amanda?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm kind of excited.
I'm exhausted. It's been really busy work-wise lately.
I can tell you unemployment has been very busy for me as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Good. It kind of bummed me out last week a little bit. I admit it. I was a little bummed out. It's just that I wake up, I'm like, what am I doing today? So, I mean, because I got my first award. We talked about this. I called it permanent furlough.
Yeah, that's called being laid
yeah,
off.
Yeah, no. So I got my official separation letter for one of the jobs. So
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, sorry.
Hey, you know, the other thing I wanted to mention, since we're almost at the end of June, is I did see that eBay is offering, you can list up to 50 items in the month of June for free. So no listing fees.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, one last weekend coming up here, go through your house, list a bunch of stuff because it's free. No listing fees this for the rest of the month.
Okay. This is interesting because I changed my account name to Rock on the Money. So I'm getting ready to actually post several items, which I posted in our group. I found that you call me a hoarder, by the way, when I come up with stuff like this.
Yeah, so I can't buy that.
I have an unopened, brand new inbox Sega Dreamcast. And for you kids, this
are
is
you
a
serious?
Game.
I want that.
This is a game machine that actually was the predecessor.
Does it have Sonic?
What?
Does it have Sonic?
Absolutely
Hedgehog?
Does.
Yeah.
This is where Sonic came from. So the Sega Dreamcast was actually the predecessor to the Xbox. That's how old this thing is. It's brand new in box.
Well, I tell you what, I have no skill with Xbox. There's way too many buttons on that controller. I will never get it. But Sega, oh, I'm so good at that.
Well, the Sega Dreamcast controller is actually, if you look at it, it's almost identical to the Xbox. Has the same exact color buttons, same letters. A lot of people don't realize the Sega Dreamcast, this is really geeky, the Sega Dreamcast was built on Microsoft Windows, and then Xbox came out right after that. So Sega stopped making
the console.
Yeah, I
never upgraded. My uncle had a Sega Genesis.
Oh, there you go.
As fancy as I ever got.
I never had that one.
We never had video game players in my house. Ooh. Except for, I think, a Nintendo, the original one, garage sale one.
There you go. Yeah. You can buy these things out there, but for some reason, this Sega Dreamcast unopened, people have had completed. Remember we talked about that? Look at the completed sales.
Yeah.
$600 to $700.
Okay, hold on. Why on God's green earth did you have one unopened?
Okay, so because I was a huge Sega Dreamcast lover. I love the Dreamcast was a great console. So I bought, when they stopped selling them, I said, I'm going to buy one in case my other one dies. That way I got a replacement. It was $50 when I bought this thing. Well, the other one never died. Well, I've never been playing it either. But I said, oh, I'm cleaning out everything. Like you said, I'm like, I could probably get $50-$100 for this. I went online and checked. Completed sales, $600, $700. I'm like, this sucker's going on eBay, baby. Mm-hmm. So if people can actually go on to the Rock on the Money account and watch the items I'm putting up for sale this week. They're going to be amazing. These are high dollar items. These are the final things I think I can get rid of.
So you bought a $50 insurance policy, basically.
Which I'm selling for $600.
Well, there you go. All right.
Actually, I'm going to buy it now for $500. So that's like $100
off. Did it keep up with the cost of inflation?
Ooh, probably not, because this was probably from 99. I think the Xbox came out like 2001. Anyway.
All right. Question. Today we've got some social media questions. Our topic today will be top 10 things I've learned while investing.
So that's me.
Craig's topic.
I've learned, yes.
I don't know if I've learned anything. Savvy Savings will be the best streaming TV services. We previewed this with one of our social media questions earlier this week, and today we'll go into what we think are the best streaming services.
I think we put more time into that one question, into an answer, than any other question out there. Because we made a whole segment out of that question.
That's right. That's right. Well, we are going to be making a segment.
It's because we care, Amanda.
Yeah.
All right. Got a question for you.
Okay.
Credit score of 775.
Okay.
Wanting to get a mortgage, but I don't have enough income to back it. What does that mean? I don't even know what that means. You're the realtor. Help me.
So I'm a real estate agent.
Okay.
I don't know what that means either. A credit score is not going to get you a mortgage alone.
All right. By the way, people, a credit score just means you like to utilize credit. It means nothing else. Doesn't mean
it means you have a lot of debt and you're good at paying it back on a payment plan, but that you haven't paid it off. Yeah.
And they give you a higher number because they know you like to have debt. That's why they want. Yeah. So anyway, it doesn't mean you're good with money. It means nothing about whether you're good with money. Okay. Can I apply for the mortgage and have my husband co-sign? How does that work? Hubby applying, not an option. He has a much lower score than I do. Is in the middle of a 3-year lawsuit. How about we not get a mortgage? That's be my answer.
So guess what? They're married. So his lawsuit and his credit score is her lawsuit and credit score in most states.
Yep.
So I don't understand what I mean, unless you're in a state where that allows for this to be completely bifurcated, which then negates one of the entire purposes of being married. I don't see how this is happening. Like, who's advised that this is even an option?
That's a good point.
I don't know. I mean, maybe there's a state out there. I'm not aware of any state that allows one. So you can certainly, as a husband and wife, you can certainly apply for individual loans, but they're still going to ask for the social security number of your spouse, and your spouse in most states has to still sign the mortgage papers, even if it's not their name on it. So co-signing, I don't understand the question. It's like required that the spouse basically acknowledge and co-sign. And in some states, you know, the property it's marital property is co-owned anyway, and it doesn't matter who signs the paperwork. It's owned 100% by both.
Here is my financial coach from a 40,000 foot level looking at this. I'm looking at this 3-year lawsuit. That's a huge debt. I'm not even sure what that debt is.
Well, I don't understand it. She says he's in the middle of a 3-year lawsuit. First of all, if you're in the middle of a lawsuit, you don't know how many years it's going to go on.
Right. Yeah.
And does that mean it's only been going on for 3 years? And because the end, you never know when a lawsuit's going to finally end. And, you know, because there's appeal processes, you know.
Yeah.
This is a terrible time to be tying yourself into a mortgage. Yeah. One, you don't have the income for it. That's the first giant red flag. And then the second, your husband doesn't have the credit score for it. So red flag number two. And then the lawsuit is like 3 strikes. You're out.
Yeah. I think we need to clean up a lot of stuff before we start buying a house. I think we should be renting until we have a better foundation. It just makes me very nervous from a financial concrete platform foundation. With all that else going on, that just makes me really, really nervous, especially in a lawsuit. That being said,
I'm not aware if this is an option, but certainly you can speak to your lender and see if there is an option there, but it wouldn't be what I would do.
All right, let's move on to question number two. How much do you allocate between total stock market and international funds in a 3-fund portfolio?
I allocate 0.
This is just me, okay? I know Dave Ramsey has his 4 funds equal weight. He does include international 25%, but he does only growth stock mutual funds. Most 401ks. You know what
I
heard?
I was listening to Dave this week, and he's even reconsidering the international because it's done absolutely nothing.
Are you serious?
Yes.
So he's agreeing with me. I mean, I know he didn't listen to me, but
he still thinks that there's potential for it.
Nah, see, Okay, for a long time, I used to be in international years ago, but because of my tracking sheets that I've been doing for 15 years, I noticed that international does nothing. And does the nothing. Dominant companies have turned out to be here in America. I mean, right. I knew about Apple, Amazon, Microsoft years ago. Now everybody talks about them, but that's why I never recommended international. And whenever I coach, I said, I know what Dave says, but international does not do anything. So why would I expose myself? I wouldn't be surprised
if in the near future he changes his advice there.
He should go to the three fund approach or two.
Yeah. So I don't put any in international. If there's any of my stocks in international, it's by accident because it's part of an index fund.
I'm really glad to hear that he's finally, that always made me nervous.
He's acknowledged that it's done nothing, but he does feel like there's, based on some data, I don't know what data he's using, there's a possibility that if that it would be in opposite correlation to whatever the US market does, so it would help balance out the portfolio. But I don't believe there's any indication that would happen.
So going back to this question, I am an American investor. Because the biggest companies in the world are here. If you take out Alibaba, whatever. Yeah. American technology, that's what I do. So if you're asking me you want to do international and total stock market? Yes. Total stock market, S&P 500 index, absolutely. And anything that outperforms it. But I keep those funds American as well. Now, every now and then, one of these funds will have Alibaba. But right. It's basically almost all Americans got Netflix, Apple, Microsoft. And they just outperform it. And I have been doing extremely well with my 401k, 457 IRA by sticking with that. I completely outperform everything else. It just works. Mm-hmm. And it probably comes from my geeky background of technology. And it has finally caught up where the world is seeing that technology investing is what wins. So, I mean, everything out there, runs on technology. And this is why I'm now a big 5G guy. Almost all the future technology that we need, like driverless cars, all that stuff, robotics and everything being, IoT, whatever, Internet of Things, will run on
5G. Including the toaster.
Including the toaster. Will run on 5G. So I am a big cloud platform 5G future and for the next 10 years. I mean, you cannot lose on that. Virus or not, that is happening. Anyway, so how much do we allocate? We do zero on international, and I'm glad to see Dave Ramsey. So if you take a 401k, like a lot of people post their 401ks on our Facebook group at Rock on the Money, and I disregard everything in there. I go right for the large caps. I zone in. All right, what do you got for large caps? And there's always, not always, but typically a S&P 500 index fund. And there's one other fund that beats it. And I just tell them to 50-50, boom, done. And usually there's two other ones and they're poor performers with high fees. And they just don't earn my check mark. That's it.
Yeah.
That's like, I can look at someone's 401k within like a minute, tell them exactly what they need to do. It's not that difficult. And you will outperform the market. It's not difficult, people. It's pretty simple. I need to make a video to show people how I do that.
Question four is, I'm doing research on esports ETFs. I've been looking at HERO, H-E-R-O. That's not really a question, but do you want to address that, Craig?
Yes. Matter of fact, I am familiar with this. I don't want to bore Amanda with this answer because it's geeky. So HERO is an ETF. So you have to have money moved over to a brokerage account from your 401k or within your IRA. The HERO thing, esports, what is esports? A lot of our older listeners have no idea what the hell esports is. This is all those competitive video games, which I know to the older population and generations, they're like, what is that? There's more people now watching people play video games than regular sports. I know that sounds bizarre. So bizarre. I know you don't know what your kids are doing, but I want you to go to a website called Twitch. It's owned by Amazon, as a matter of fact, T-W-I-T-C-H. There was the other night, Amanda, this is crazy. There was a basketball game live on Twitch. that you can watch on your smart TV or your phone or computer. And it was a video game of two teams playing basketball, like the Wizards against the Golden State Warriors. They're replicating a matchup. 150,000 people were watching this video game of two people playing basketball.
That's insane.
And the graphics make it look almost like a real basketball game. And so they had commentators and everything like it was a real basketball game. Okay. So that's what esports is. There are teams owned by sports figures of professional video game players. These people sign contracts like an athlete. They make $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 to be a professional video game player. They have jerseys, they have sponsors, and they play in stadiums, and people come in and pay to watch them play a video game. Does that sound bizarre to you?
Yeah. So what'd you learn?
So within this Hero ETF, this is based on within this Activation Blizzard, which is a video game company. Nintendo's in there. Electronic Arts, which is another video game creator. They're the ones that make Madden, NFL, Take-Two Interactive, which we've talked about before. They make Grand Theft Auto and other games. Zynga. Remember Zynga? That's where Farmville came from. Remember that? Yeah.
Zynga's in there. I had their stock for a while.
Yeah, Zynga's a great company. They make a lot of the mobile games on your phone. They're in the top 10. NVIDIA, which I'm a huge proponent of NVIDIA stock for AI data centers. They also make the video game cards for all these computers out there. That's what gives it the high graphics and all that. Anyway, so yes, I do like that. However, there are other ETFs that are more technology related that aren't as much in Hero. I haven't really looked at the performance of it. I think you can do better with the XLK, which is the S&P 500, but just the technology stocks of the S&P 500. I would prefer that. It will outperform Hero, and you'll get a lot of these same companies within that. But that would be my recommendation. I don't want to zone in just on something like that. I kind of like to do sectors with my ETFs, Amanda. So if I did biomedical or stuff like that, that's what I would zoom in. I don't get into a lot of these mixtures, specific ETFs. That makes me nervous for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, that's it. How about we get into a topic and then we'll get into your savvy savings?
Sounds good.
Because that question basically led into the top 10 things that I've learned through my decades of investing, all my mistakes that I've done. I call all of my bad stock purchasing and investing as tuition to the stock market, tuition to Wall Street University. I've lost my share of money. I've learned, and I've seen a lot of people now by people buying Hertz, Chesapeake Energy, JCPenney, you know, bankrupt companies. And it's just reminded me of all the things that I would have done in my past, what I don't do now. I still stick with these kind of concepts. And there may be more, but these are the ones that I jotted down that, I don't know, I'd like to get your feedback on these. And you know what? Some of your stocks will be in there. All right. So number one, a stock price and the company's profits can detach. They may not be similar in the short term, but in the long term, they do have a lot to do with each other. So sometimes stock prices will go wacky, which make no sense to what the company is actually making. But over time, it makes a lot of sense. So if a company doesn't make a lot of money in the, you know, in the long term, that price will go down. So I will tend to stick with companies that make money over the long term with the stock price. It goes in the same direction. All right, number two, just like how I coach people with mutual funds, if a mutual fund can't beat a simple S&P 500 index, I don't buy it. Same with public companies and stocks. If public companies consistently underperform the market, I don't invest in them.
Yeah.
So I stick with the quality names. Number three, all good CEOs don't want their stock price to go below $10. Usually CEOs are directed by the board of that company to make sure that stock price is taken care of. Because a lot of them have actually options with those stocks of the company that they're a board member of. So if the stock price is below $10, there's probably a reason why it's below $10. So I now have this hard and fast rule. I do not vest in any stock that is under $10. There's probably a reason why it's down there. But in my early days of investing, Amanda, you had to buy blocks of 100 shares. So I didn't have a lot of money to invest. So I ended up having to buy the stocks that were down there. Yeah. And what do you think happened most of the time?
They lost money.
I lost money. So people that, what we say about day traders, because a lot of them do the penny stocks.
Yep.
Most people, 70% of all people who do day trading lose all of their money.
Yeah.
Because they're down there in the $1 and $2 stocks. Hertz, JCPenney.
Yep.
I should
and,
ask.
And you know, even that CPA had noted that 100% of his day traders who came to him to do tax returns lost money.
Yep. As obvious as number four is going to sound, it's very important. Invest in the very best companies you can find. But nobody wants to do this. Not bankrupted, not deep in debt, not in junk bond status, only the very best. Matter of fact, American Airlines is filing to sell junk bonds right now to stay out of bankruptcy, because right now they're heading down that road right now.
Yeah.
But people will still buy American Airlines stock. I don't do it. Nope. Number five, allocation of your stocks is a great risk reduction tool. So let's say you are in a bunch of great stocks, but there's one that you really, really believe in and it's doing well and you think it's going to do well. Keep it at a low buy. Don't buy a bunch of it. Just have a core, a bucket of stocks, just like we stay with the mutual funds, Amanda. But if you want to have a little bit of money in speculative stocks, that's fine, but keep it a very low amount. Do you have any comments on that? Because you've done some of that.
Yeah, no, I think diversification is important. I will say that unintentionally, almost 50% of my portfolio is now in, you know, Shopify. And that's not how I started. It's just that the growth has been so astronomical.
Yeah. I'm going to mention that here. Number six, as a matter of fact, you are never, I know this sounds crazy to people, and I just heard them talk about this on CNBC the other day. You are never late on the best stocks and companies out there. We get this question in the group. Is it too late to get into Microsoft? To me, that's a dumb question. I don't care what the price is on Microsoft. Look at that stock chart, everybody. Out of every stock out there, it is the most boring slope you will find from any stock, any company out there. It is nothing but a steady slope going uphill. It doesn't do anything but go up over time. It check marks everything that I have on my list right here. It's boring. Nobody even talks about them. They would rather talk about Apple, Amazon, but just look at that. It's slow and steady. You're never too late to get into a company like Microsoft. Like, for a lot of people thought back in 2010, they missed out on Amazon in 2010. Where is that now? or like Verizon in 2012, or Shopify in 2018, or what did I tell you earlier last year? Man, I should get into Shopify, and I didn't.
You didn't.
And that was what, at 500?
Yep.
It's now at 900.
Yeah, it's getting close to 1,000 now.
Number seven. It's weird how all these actually link up to the next. So number seven, and this is perfect for Shopify. And this is why I love Shopify. Very important, recurring revenues. Everybody know what recurring revenues are? These are like subscription services or things that, you know, a company subscribes to, or they need their portion of the business, and they keep having to pay for it, like a cloud data center. Like Microsoft has a lot of these cloud centers and
or
servers.
Or AWS.
Right, like Amazon has AWS. So for my company to operate, I have to be on a server on the cloud. So that's why Amazon and Microsoft do so well, and their recurring revenues keep increasing every quarter that they report. Right. Those are the companies that you need to be in, because it's not going to slow down. The cloud is still in the young years. This is good for the next 10 years, people. Shopify is a place where small mom and pops, anybody can open up a store within how many minutes, Amanda? 5, 10 minutes, you can open up a store on the internet with Shopify. Mm-hmm. And that is a recurring model. So for them to have a business, and they'll take credit cards for you, which is another revenue stream. So basically, it's a platform where you can go open up your own store on the internet, and they handle all the security, all the credit cards, everything for you. You just need to get the products on the store.
Do you know why I originally got into Shopify?
Talk to me.
So a number, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, marijuana started becoming legal.
Yes.
And Shopify was a platform that a lot of those businesses were using.
Oh, it was probably one of the old ones they could go to.
That's right.
Wow.
It's based in Canada.
Hmm. Look at you.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Anyway, so I figure marijuana is not going away.
No. But I'm against investing in marijuana stocks because there's nothing proprietary too,
but,
with it.
But they still need to sell.
But they need a platform to sell it. Right. And to take the payments, because it's difficult for these stores to get payments because of rules with the...
They can't use regular banks because of the banking regulations. Because
technically it's still illegal. Federally, on a national... Yeah. Anyway. So recurring revenues, I'm telling you guys, look for the companies that have recurring revenues and they increase every quarter. That is automatic growth. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. It's just automatic. It will continue to grow as long as they keep doing what they're doing. Okay. So number 8, it's okay to pay higher prices for quality stocks and companies. If there's a high price, there's probably a damn good reason why it's a high price. Why Shopify is now $900 and not $2. There's a reason for that, people.
Yeah. And I would say in the last 4 years, it's gone from around $46 over $900.
You're killing me. The multiples on that are just... But it's never, I feel it's never too late because they keep reporting multiples on the recurring revenue and their signups. So,
you know what's going to happen is it's going to keep going up until it splits. And then it's going to keep going up again, just like Apple and Amazon have done.
If everybody finds out that's the place to open up a store, then everyone goes there. Like Amazon, if that's the place to go buy something, you go there.
Eventually they'll split so that more people can afford to buy.
Yep. Number 9, in the stock market, winners keep on winning.
Mm-hmm.
Buy the companies that consistently beat the market every quarter. They always report increases every quarter. Once again, Microsoft is the king of that. They always downplay what they're going to do, and they always beat on every quarter. They actually have very good... financial people at Microsoft, apparently the brokerage houses and investors, they love how they report. They're very honest. They're very open. They don't manipulate their numbers, and they're very, very consistent. It's just a great place to invest. It always will be. They've already been through the Federal Ringer once, which once again makes it another great stock because we don't have to worry about them being broken up. Number 10. And there's nothing special about being number 10. It was just the order I typed it up. Learn to separate the company's earnings and revenues from all the noise out there. And there's a lot of noise out there, Amanda. Yeah. I see people going to Facebook for stock advice. I see them going, there's a website called Stock Twits.
Uh-huh.
There's so much noise and manipulation going on there. Don't trust anything people say on there. Please don't do that stuff. CNBC can do that as well. Mad Money. A lot of people don't realize that a lot of these advisors that come on there during the daytime, they pay to be on there. It's like an advertisement for their company. There's a lot of that going on. So it's like the Today Show. A lot of people watch those morning shows when they talk about products and stuff for the summertime. All those products on that table are paid placements. Yeah. Don't think that they just pick these out because they're the best. Companies paid to be on there. Those morning shows are nothing but a continuous commercial, just like The Price is Right, which you watch in the background.
Yeah, I haven't been able to watch or even listen to it much lately.
But that's a 60-minute commercial, which is still fun to watch. Just understand it's a commercial of a bunch of products that people pay to be on the show. Anyway, so don't go look at the numbers. And I have a video you can go watch in our Facebook group on YouTube of how to just quickly go to Yahoo Finance and where to find these numbers. How much income do you have in relation to debt? I tend to like companies that have more cash than debt. kind of like yeah. what we coach in your house. I mean, at any point, these companies could pay out their debt. It's a lot of these companies will have debt, even though they could pay it off, but they're getting interest rates, Amanda, below 1%. Like yeah. Apple, they got a bunch of loans from the federal government recently from COVID just to have that cash because it was such a low interest rate. It just gives them some leverage in the future, even though they have tons of cash on hand. It's just a smart way that corporate America works, just to have that just in case. You don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. That's what I have for, what'd you think of the list? Was it pretty well?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. So I just have one comment here.
Sure.
I know we've had some discussion in our Facebook group about, you know, real estate investing versus investing in the market. Mm. And what are your thoughts there, Craig?
Because I'm not a big real estate investor, I had some knowledge. I went and researched it. Everywhere I went, NerdWallet, Investopedia, I mean, every site I could find, I think I found five. They were all consistent that showed the S&P, this is on, in general, this is not based on a zip code, Amanda, just right. so you know, because I know you're real estate. But in general, the S&P 500 has greatly outperformed all real estate out there. Now, mm-hmm. it would be different if you targeted it. That would be, you know. But
yeah.
that also doesn't take into account the time, the energy, the maintenance and all that on the physical properties. But in mm-hmm. general, the S&P 500 has outperformed every other form of investment.
Yes. And, you know, the argument that, oh, I don't have very good mutual funds to choose from in my 401k. Ugh. Well, you have the entire market at your disposal if you open up that Roth IRA that we, mm-hmm. you know, recommend. And you can have both a Roth IRA and your 401k. No mm-hmm. one's stopping you.
Yep.
So, the argument that real estate grows more than the market just astounds me, baffles me. My portfolio alone has quadrupled in the last 4 years. There's no real estate on earth that's going to quadruple in 4 years.
And in the last 6 weeks, I'm up 57%. I know you're probably higher than me in my 457. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's something that you have to choose funds from, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like you're in individual stocks there.
Now, granted, that also includes the bottom of the market because of COVID. But over time, last year, I was up 39% of my funds. These are standard funds in a 457 for the year. So I don't know what they're... My overall average long-term, this is mm-hmm. decades, is over 12%.
Yeah, there's not a zip code in America that is going to beat that.
My house has not done that, and I'm in a hot market. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could sell it like in an hour. But I mean, if I put my house on the market right now, it would be sold today. That's how bad it is here in the DC area. But yeah. I did not make in the growth that much as compared to the stock market. No way.
Especially when you factor in inflation.
And all the upkeep and replacing my roof and all that, if I take it out, no, nowhere near. No, yeah. I'm doing multiples every 5-7 years.
Yep.
I doubled my money.
Guys.
Yeah. So the numbers do not lie. You find me a chart that says otherwise, but I went to five of the big sites that you get unbiased information. The charts do not show anything near. No way. Now,
I have investments in real estate as well, because I do believe in diversifying. So there's nothing wrong with investing in real estate. I just don't buy the argument that you make more.
No. Now, if I target a zip code on a downturn, yeah, mm-hmm. you could do that. In 2008, 2010, I could have went into Vegas and bought, they had 2-for-1 houses going on, stuff like that. Because mm-hmm. people just walked. Mm-hmm. But that's like special occurrences. In general, no way. Anyway. Yeah. Now that upsets me a little bit.
Well, let's take a break.
People make this more complicated than it needs to be. S&P 500. Now you got me all fired up. All right, let's take a break. What are we going to do Savvy Savings today?
Today, we're inspired by our question last episode. So we're going to be talking about the best streaming TV services.
I love this because I switched last year and it was the best thing I ever did. All right, coming up next, Savvy Savings with Amanda right here. Rock on the money.
This podcast is sponsored by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Eliminate your stress. Whether you're buying or selling your home, be sure you are working with an expert in your local area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com will match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of over 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're looking for a condo, new construction, fixer-uppers, mountain retreats, vacation properties, or a first-time home buyer, let Choice Realty Connect match you with the perfect top agent today. Choice Realty Connect is who I trust, and I know you will too. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on the Money with Amanda and Craig as a sidekick. time for Savvy Savings, my favorite part. What are we talking about again?
Best streaming TV services.
I love this. And we thank that person. I don't have their name. Thank you for asking the question last episode.
Yeah, and there was a similar question on our Facebook page as well, that someone had finally sat down to look at automatic payments that were coming out of their like check every month.
Ooh,
and
leaks.
Didn't realize that their cable bill was up to $180 a month. And she's like, what on earth?
Cable companies like to sneak those in there. Yep.
Yeah, especially if you sign up for like one of those new customer deals and then, you know, that expires 12 months later and then they give you... You know, the bill goes up to their normal rates then. So it can happen.
A lot of those Comcast ones were like 2-year. And I mm-hmm. guess that 2-year disappeared. They forgot. Like, oop.
Mm-hmm,
doubled. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, you know, if you want to go from $180 to $50 a month, you can pretty much get everything you're looking for by streaming over your internet connection. I mean, so of course, you still need to have internet.
Yeah.
But if you don't want popular news and sports networks, what is it? Philo is only $20 a month. That's PHILO. Price is not everything, though. If you end up stacking other services on top of core streaming packages, here are the current prices for the various plans out there today. AT&T Watch TV is $15. Have you tried that one, Craig?
No, because I think as you're going to talk about later, it really doesn't have... It is really core. I mean, basic.
Yeah, basic.
Yeah, it will not serve my purposes whatsoever.
That Philo is $20. Sling TV. Oh, I love their commercials.
I was just going to say, those crack me up.
Yeah, those are great. Yeah. Sling TV is about $30. YouTube TV around $50. Hulu plus live TV is about $55. Fubo TV is $55, and then AT&T TV Now, not to be confused with Watch TV, is $55. So that's the former DirecTV Now.
Yeah.
So all these services don't have hidden fees. It's one flat fee every month, which includes, you know, there's no hidden fees. There's no equipment that you have to rent like you do with your cable company. There's no long-term contracts. You can cancel at any time. It's just a monthly recurring fee. And a lot of them have a free trial, so you can try them out, see if you like it or if you don't like it, like how I feel about Disney Plus. And you can browse their programming selections and see if it's a good match for you. But for in each case, you're going to need high-speed internet with a minimum of 10 megabits per second or higher for the best quality. And a smart TV or streaming device like Roku Express, Amazon Fire, the Google Chromecast. Right now is a great time to get that Amazon Fire Stick because they are on sale.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, I'm like an Amazon commercial. I don't know.
And I'm the Google guy, so we're going to be like going at it.
Yeah. So YouTube TV, let's just talk about some of these in a little bit more detail. So again, that one starts at around $50 per month. It gives you unlimited DVR. You can record as many programs as you want at the same time and never run out of storage. It's all on the cloud. There's over 70 channels, includes local channels, sports, ESPN, and more. And it works on 3 separate devices at the same time. And then you can also have up to 6 separate accounts on one plan.
Now,
you tried YouTube TV last year, right?
I have it. I love it.
Oh, you have it. Okay.
I watch YouTube TV on an airplane. I was watching my own channels streaming on the airplane.
Wow.
So now the connection was, what's nice, because it is based on the YouTube platform, it automatically downgraded the stream quality based on my bandwidth, which was really good. The unlimited DVR is actually amazing. And if you stop watching, here's something I noticed. If you tell it you want to record certain shows and then you're not watching any of it, it will actually stop recording. It was like, look, this guy ain't watching it. We're not going to record it anymore. So, it uses artificial intelligence because it is based on the Google platform. So, but I love it. I mean, you can have up to 6 accounts, like you said. My daughter has one of them. So she's watching it in Virginia and I'm up here in Maryland. So as long as we don't have more than 3 screens running at the same time, it's fine. They don't care.
Yeah.
I love it. Anyway.
All right. The next one is Hulu plus live TV. So around $55 a month, you get 50 hours of DVR storage, or you can upgrade at an additional charge. You can upgrade to 200 hours. The upgrade is required to skip through commercials. Ooh. Oh, I hate commercials.
See, YouTube TV.
Except for the Sling TV commercials. Those are good.
Yeah. YouTube, you can skip through the commercials.
Oh, really?
On the basic. Oh, yeah. Just fast forward.
So Hulu does have over 60 channels, including sports, but you can only have 2 screens running it at once, and then add-ons can get expensive. So the next one, Sling TV, I've never tried it, but I do love their commercials. It starts at $30 a month, where you get 10 hours of DVR. You can upgrade to 50 hours for $5 more, so it's still cheaper than the other 2 options, but again, fewer DVR hours. I don't record or store anything, so that doesn't matter to me. Yeah. There are limited local channels. You will need an HD antenna to get locals, and only 1 screen at a time with Sling Orange. Sling Blue allows for 3 screens.
So here's the thing about those last 2 you just talked about. You really start losing sports on these. YouTube TV, I found, has the best.
Does it matter right now?
No, but like they have regional sports even on YouTube TV, but you start, as we go down this list, no, it gets more expensive and you're right. Yeah, I know. But you start losing all the other locals, you start losing, you know, sometimes the price really isn't that different. So
Yeah. Well, even $50 a month is a huge savings from 180.
Oh, I saved, I think, $40 by switching YouTube TV, but I still have my same internet through Comcast. But I still save $30, $40 that I can use for other things. I mean, savings are savings.
So if you switch from $180 a month to $50 a month, you're going to save $1,560 a year.
Whoa.
Oh, whoa.
That's crazy.
Okay, AT&T TV Now starts at $55 a month. Regional sports, HBO, and Cinemax are included with the $80 plan, the more expensive plan. You do get 500 hours of DVR, but only 45 channels at the $55 level. Philo, I'd never even heard of this one, Craig.
Yes.
But if you're not interested in major sports networks or local channels, this one's the one for you. It's only $20 a month. 60 channels, including Food Network, A&E, Discovery, Nick, VH1, and more. And then you get unlimited DVR for as many shows as you want for 30 days. So up to 30 days of storage, right?
Yes.
3 screens at a time. Only a phone number is required to start a free trial. So they don't actually require your credit card on file to start the trial. But Google Chromecast is not supported at this time. And then finally, AT&T Watch TV. It's similar to Philo. You won't get sports or local stations. It's only $15 a month, though, and you do get 35 live TV channels. Networks include Food Network, History Channel, CNN, HGTV, and more. You don't get any DVR, though. Ooh. And you can only watch on 1 screen at a time, and Roku is not supported.
Sounds like that Philo is a lot better for $5 more.
Sounds like it, yeah. But not everybody needs everything flashy like you, Craig.
No, but the fact that you only get 1 screen as opposed to 3.
But if you live alone and only watch 1 screen.
And had no neighbors. But
not everyone has a mansion like you.
Oh my God, stop. Every house in our area is this size. That's the problem.
Oh, so now you live in a rich neighborhood. Got
no,
it.
I live in the most affluent area in the United States is the problem. Everybody's got a big house here. Yeah. The Mid-Atlantic is crazy.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just teasing.
I know.
Anyway, all these services do have free trials, so you can look for ease of price, ease of use, price. Does it work with your existing TV and devices? Does it have the channels that you enjoy watching? Like for me, having like National Geographic and Nat Geo Wild, because I watch a lot of animal shows, would be a deal breaker. And for my husband, it would be, you know, NBC Sports because his soccer matches. That's a deal breaker. you know, have a family meeting, ensure everyone's going to be happy with the decisions, unless, you know, it's really only important that the adults are happy, you know, kids live with it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, it's a personal experience, so it's difficult to make everyone happy. Just make sure that, you know, the people whose opinions really matter in the house are happy.
Yeah, mine.
Yeah. Oh. You know, but, you know, change is tough. So whether you're switching your cell phone carrier or your TV channel lineup, you're going to have to weigh the options to see if saving a few dollars a month will add up to hundreds per year. Like I just said, $130 a month in savings is $1,560 a year. Just think what you could do with that.
Now, last year, I did try a lot of these. I tried Sling. I tried them all. Some, the quality was not that great. Some I didn't like the user interface, like the channel guide. The one that really, I keep coming back to YouTube TV, but if you want something that you're familiar with, like your typical satellite or cable company, that YouTube TV is great. And you can customize the channel layout just on your phone or on your computer. And you can watch on your phone, you watch anywhere. And it was the one that was the closest to what I was used to. Like, let's say I'm out mowing the grass and I miss the first 10 minutes of my midday financial show that I watch. I watch the halftime report on CNBC. So I come in, I'm like, oh, crap. I go to the channel guide, I press it. I can either start at the beginning or go switch to live. So it can go back. It has just all these little things that just make it so comfortable to watch TV. And the quality is amazing. I love it.
That's awesome.
So. And no, we're not sponsored by YouTube TV. We should be.
Yeah, we should be.
But I've heard a lot of people say and a lot of ratings companies that put YouTube TV at the top of their list. And all these you can try for free, like you said. So
yeah.
Try that Philo out if you don't like local or sports. $20.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are just watching Food Network anyway and flipping shows. So they're all on there for $20.
So there you go.
Anyway. All right. Thank you, Amanda.
All right.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.